danger is in place for parts of coastal WA today. The Carnarvon and Shark Bay shires face extremely dangerous fire conditions, while a number of other nearby shires have severe fire danger ratings. Residents have been warned to have their bushfire survival plan ready. Meanwhile, in Victoria, an advice is in place for Dereal and Mount Mercer due to a bushfire burning south of Ballarat on Tippetts Road at Dereal. Malcolm Turnbull has announced his new front bench at the end of another week of turmoil, which resulted in two ministers retiring and another resigning. Queensland Liberal Steve Chobo is the big winner, taking over trade from the retiring Andrew Robb, who will stay on as special trade envoy until the next election. Mr Chobo says it's now time for the government to focus on the months ahead.
This is an opportunity for us to continue the renewal process as part of this government's putting Australia on the right track and repairing the damage that was left by the Australian Labor Party. Malcolm Turnbull as Prime Minister continues to have a very clear and articulate vision about what we want this nation to be.
Six women are now in Cabinet, while the Nationals also have an extra seat with Senator Nash and Darren Chester joining Barnaby Joyce and Nigel Scullion. The new ministerial lineup will be sworn in by Governor-General Peter Cosgrove in Canberra on Thursday. Hundreds of people have rallied in front of a Brisbane hospital to support doctors who are refusing to discharge a baby to prevent her from being sent back to immigration detention in Nauru. The 12-month-old girl, known as Baby Asha, was brought to Lady Salento Children's Hospital after suffering burns when boiling water was accidentally spilled on her while she was at Nauru. Doctors for Refugees spokesman Dr. Richard Kidd says the medical staff protecting Asha are standing by the Hippocratic Oath to look after their patients' well-being. Somalian jihadist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for a bomb blast that tore a hole in the side of a plane and forced an emergency landing last week. The suspected suicide bomber was the only person killed in the blast on the Darlo Airlines flight from Mogadishu. Officials said afterwards he had been meant to travel on a Turkish Airlines flight that was cancelled due to bad weather. A water skier who died at a competition on the Murray River has been named as 47-year-old New South Wales man Kevin Vartrick. Mr Vartrick of Tennyson was pulled unconscious from the water at Moama yesterday afternoon after losing contact with his boat during a qualifying session for the Southern 80 water ski event. Police and paramedics were unable to revive him. Tasmania will review its local council operations in a bid to improve governance. The state has 29 councils covering a population of just 500,000. In comparison, the city of Brisbane by itself has more than double the number of people. A new report says housing markets in iconic lifestyle areas such as the Gold Coast and Cairns are returning to growth after a weak period between 2008 and 2014. Property analytics firm CoreLogic RP Data says equity-rich property owners in Sydney and Melbourne are now looking to buy second homes in the holiday destinations. Areas like Newcastle and Wollongong are also experiencing a boost as those priced out of the Sydney market begin to look further afield. Also in news, Pakistan's president has called on his country to boycott Valentine's Day, calling it a Western tradition that conflicts with Muslim ideals. This is AIR News. In cricket, Adam Voges battled through the second day of the Wellington Test against New Zealand to take Australia to 6 for 463 and to a lead of 280 runs. He was 176 not out and had taken his test average to over 100 and had scored 551 runs since being last dismissed. Usman Khawaja praised Voges after they shared a fourth wicket partnership of 168.
It's almost faultless. The way he went about it, batted very sensibly, patiently at the start, was hitting a lot of good shots straight to fielders, didn't get frustrated with it, batted the whole day, and the way he's been batting lately, just honestly feels like he's not going to get out sometimes. And he's making hundreds, and making big hundreds, which is important for the team.
Parramatta have been brought down from their Auckland nines high after Gold Coast fought back at the death to grab a 20-all NRL trial draw. Prop Eddie Pettibourne scored on the siren and Nathan Davis converted from in front to cap a late Titans fight back at Anzac Oval in Alice Springs. Meanwhile, South Sydney have defeated St George Illawarra 18-14 at Sydney's Olympic Stadium to win the NRL Charity Shield. Also in sport, Perth are 2 points shy of the A-League's top six after sending Sydney FC to a sobering 2-1 defeat, and the Western Force have downed the Asia Pacific Dragons 34-26, ending their Super Rugby pre-season campaign on a high note. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, hot and mostly sunny. A slight chance, 20% at that, of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm in the west. Winds will be north-northwesterly 10 to 15 k. Sydney's heading for a maximum of 31 on a lovely sunny day. Dave, what about at Terry Hills and Armidale?
Well, I can tell you that Terry Hills is going to be very similar to the city in Sydney. Only 30 degrees at the top, and Armidale, well, it's always beautiful. Sunny and 31 in the New England.
Extraordinary revelations. Incredible insights. The brand new show, One-on-One.
Join me, Ray Thomas, each week as I go one-on-one with racing's key players.
With special guest Tommy Berry. Starts Tuesday, 7:30 on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
And suddenly, he gets a feeling he's been surrounded by...
The Country Championships is coming to Scone, February 21. Featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses, horses, horses.
Thechampionships.com.au. Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UBeaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. .com.au.
Some Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back to back.
It's going to be the magnificent Mark Marquez. It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
First he gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crushes the 20. Comes away to
to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Dave Carlson.
Well, the old official intro, that sounds good to me. Good morning and welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast on this Valentine's Day 2016, where sport meets romance, you know, a love game, if you like. I'm Dave Carlson. I'm filling in for Jimmy Smith. My apologies to his many secret admirers. And as always, the racing editor of the Daily Telegraph, Ray Thomas, is with us. Ray, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, the footy's back and Jimmy's gone. He's taken off for a rare weekend away. I think you're freshen up before the real footy starts, but it was great to see the footy back last night. Dave, I was on the way home from the races, so I missed the St George Illawarra South Sydney Charity Shield match. I was listening to some of it on the radio and didn't seem to be a high-quality game, but the All-Stars game I thought was fantastic, given... We're so early in the season, obviously. 12-8 to the World All-Stars over the Indigenous All-Stars. 37,000 people attended. Yep. Surely that's enough for the NRL to put their imprimatur on this game and say, it is here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were indications from the chairman of the Rugby League and other officials during the week that it would stay. Look, conversely, the Charity Shield, right? Like, they usually play...
You were there last night, weren't you, Dave?
Well, I was. I went from Randwick, left after race six, and went to Randwick. Went from Randwick to Homebush. Myself and three friends got caught in a massive traffic jam.
As can happen up Parramatta Road?
M4? No, we decided to go through the M5 tunnel, which is ridiculous at any time of the day. two lanes, that was really well planned. But anyway, $150 later in a cab fare between the four of us, and we arrived just on kickoff. But honestly, 5:35 p.m., It was still about 30 degrees, and they said 13,000 people were at the game. Well, I don't know where they all were, but just ridiculous programming, 5:35, to have that game on. The Charity Shield used to be something at night, and they'd get a decent crowd, and they charged $35 a head to get in. Ridiculous.
It's steep. I couldn't work out why they didn't split the two games, Dave, and have one of them on Friday night.
Yep, I couldn't agree. There's obviously there's programming, television things involved, of course, but playing the Charity Shield at 5:35 on a Saturday afternoon is wrong, and it failed.
Let's start right here and now. For next year, put them on separate nights and let the people enjoy the games what they were. Plenty happening over the weekend, though. A lot of trial games, Dave, and running through a couple of scores here. Parramatta played the Gold Coast. Gold Coast had two trials yesterday. They had one in Auckland, one in Alice Springs. They had two different teams there. 20-all draw, Parramatta and the Gold Coast. And congratulations to the Parramatta Eels and their army of fans when we were on air last weekend. No one thought they'd win the Auckland Nines. And there they were, their first trophy, I think, since the 1986 Grand Final. Yeah. So maybe it gives them a bit of impetus going into the 2016 season.
Yep.
Penrith 24, Canterbury 12 out at Penrith.
Yeah, Hopewadi hurt his knee.
Did he? Could he play well, apparently, and hurt his knee, has he?
He did. The new Bulldogs recruit, he's hurt his knee. Good. He limped off, so that's not good. Let's hope for Bulldogs fans that Will's okay.
If any Penrith Panthers fans are out there, love to see what they thought of Matt Morland playing at number six.
Yep.
We know he's a fantastic fullback. Finally back on the park after that knee injury last year. Kept him off since May, but he had some game time at six yesterday. Interested to see what your thoughts were, if you were at Panthers, to watch that game. Tigers 18, Melbourne 16. The Warriors 4. 40 beat the other Gold Coast team 18, and Cronulla play Manly today. So, Dave, the footy's back.
Well, it's great to have it back, I reckon. I mean, the cricket's going well, and we'll talk about the Aussies because they're, 280 ahead of the Kiwis in the test at Wellington. It stumps Khawaja and Adam Voges, who now has a better test average than the Don.
It's sacrilegious to say it, isn't it? 100.33 is average. If he gets out, he goes below the Sir Donald Bradman's fabled average of 99.94, but look, is it as much to do with the bowling attacks that he's been fortunate to face this summer? New Zealand and the West Indies haven't had inspiring bowling attacks plus flat pitches, but you can only take the opportunities given to you. But admittedly, on day one, in that last over of the first day of the test match at Wellington, when he shouldered arms and was clean bowled, no ball.
That's right.
And it wasn't a no ball.
I think Richard Illingworth is in hiding overnight, the umpire. Yeah, he was on seven, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. But you can take the opportunity to make the most of them. He's certainly done that. And Usman Khawaja, have you ever seen a man in a richer vein of form than him right now? He makes batting look so easy. And he's got his most fluid stroke maker, and he's effortless between all three forms of the game. He's just as adept at one day as, and he's brilliant in the T20s, and surely he's, along with Steve Smith, the first man picked now.
Yeah, we'll have to send an SMS to Bacchus Marsh, and just to reiterate that, because Khawaja's just a revelation. He's fantastic to watch. Really is.
Love to hear your thoughts, though, on Valentine's Day. You can call the show on 1353 53, talk anything about sport, or SMS us on 0419 767 272. Dave's here to filling in for Jimmy Smith, who's having a real weekend off. I think he's flown to America with his family for a couple of days.
He is travelling, isn't he?
He is going okay. Hardest working man in Sydney media, I reckon.
Now, have you organised the flowers and the chocolates for your lovely wife, Ray?
Can you hear this?
Hang on. Yep. She's shaking her head. What's going on?
Let's just say I got it sorted, Dave.
All right. Okay.
Let's hope I have.
Sweet as a nut.
How about you, mate?
Yeah, definitely. I've been...
It sorted?
Yeah, I've got it sorted, yeah. I've been sending out a flower or two, yeah. It's good, yeah.
Well, on that theme, why don't we look at great sporting couples today? Love to hear the viewers' feedback on them. Great sporting couples always think...
Yeah.
Top of my head, Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf.
Yeah.
First one comes to mind for me.
Greg Norman, Chris Evans. Oh, no, hang on, sorry. No.
Well, they were.
For a fleeting moment. But yeah. That one you said, Steffi Graf.
Great sporting couples on Valentine's Day theme.
Okay,
we'll go with that one.
Yep, I think that's a good idea.
Dave, I'm not sure if you caught up with any of the A-League action overnight. Some huge controversies in the A-League. The Melbourne local derby was an absolute crack. I was channel surfing between the All-Stars game and the A-League. Ended up 2-2, Melbourne victory, Melbourne City. Melbourne victory certainly could say they were robbed. A Guy Finkler free kick hit the crossbar, definitely went into the goal.
It did.
But was ruled a no goal. Plus, another flare went off, which was terrible to see. A player from City sent off and a 2-2 draw. It was a game that had everything. And that leads me into today's game. The Wanderers play Wellington this afternoon, and all that controversy during the week about the flares at the last Wanderers game, and there we were in the Melbourne local derby last night. Someone let off a flare, and the commentators, you could hear the angst and the frustration in their voice.
Absolutely.
What are people thinking, Dave?
Oh, I mean, they just look at me, I want some attention. I heard some guy, I think it was on the radio, I think it was on Big Sports Breakfast, saying that, you know, it adds to the atmosphere of the game. Well, mate,
give me a break.
You better go and get yourself some new entertainment, mate.
It's just madness, and after all the controversy all week, that had to happen last night in one of the games of the season.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's law of averages. There's always a deal.
Mm.
There's always a deal in a crowd somewhere. And, well, they advertised with a neon sign, didn't they, with a flare. That's
just
me.
Madness.
That's me.
Yeah.
It is. So, speaking of flares, he probably still wears them. Andy Paskalides, the Golden Greek's going to join us around about 7:30 to talk football. I noticed that you very subtly left out the Sydney FC result going down at home to Perth Glory, Ray.
Disappointed about that. You had 2-1 loss and, again, some defensive errors for Sydney FC. And in a bit of a rut right now, but I'll back Arns to get him out of it when the finals come around. He's a master coach, and let Sydney FC have their bad period now before the finals start.
Yeah, well, let's certainly hope so, because they haven't won since, I think, about round 15. Mm. They haven't got the 3 points. And disappointed last night, Perth Glory led 2-0, and then Sydney FC Smelt scored a late goal. So they need to pull their socks up a little bit. At the moment, Juventus and Napoli too, so my Italian friends are checking that one out.
Okay. We've got a huge show today. Jimmy always says that every time on a Sunday morning, but a lot of interviews with all the major players. Racing was fantastic yesterday. Winx's return was magnificent. We've got Chris Waller on a bit later.
Good.
Rod Northam, the trainer of Big Money. Great story behind Big Money. Robert Thompson Road, he's amazing. Damien Flower, part owner of Perignon, great story behind her win. As you mentioned, Andy Paskalides is back with his football wrap. And the great man returns, Peter Peters, I'll get it right. He's back with his take on everything rugby league. He's back, the great man. Love to hear him.
So it's like the Greek hour. We're going to have Andy, and then at 10 to 8, Zorb comes.
The great man's back, Zorb. And then after 8, Dave Nilsen, the Australian baseball great. Of course, Australia now today have a huge game against South Africa to qualify for the World Baseball Classic. Dave Nilsen, probably the greatest baseball Australia's produced. We'll talk to him as our sporting legend just after 8 o'clock. And we're hoping to get Paul Mary McGregor. Look, I think he'll be satisfied with St George last night. Again, defence was a cornerstone of last season, Dave, and let's hope that they can do it again. I know you're a huge Dragons fan.
Absolutely. The blood and bandages all the way. I thought they were very flat last night. We'll try and get Mary on. He said he may be able to join us. He's got a family thing that he has to attend to, but hopefully we can get him around about 8:30 this morning.
Okay, love to hear your calls. 13:53:53. You're on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Dave and Ray.
Hi, it's Andrew Bensley from Racing HQ. This Thursday morning between 9 and 10, we'll honour the remarkable training career of Kembla Grange's Bede Murray.
Could it Starcy be good for the cup?
Bede is battling ill health, but many of his racing friends would like to honour him for what he's achieved in thoroughbred racing. Join us Thursday morning between 9 and 10 as we celebrate the training career of Bede Murray on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Nano, here's a Chinese red envelope.
For me? You shouldn't have.
I didn't. It's for our customers.
Oh.
If they see a red envelope on any product at Bin Lee, they'll get a great deal.
Yes, a traditional Chinese red envelope symbolises good luck. And to celebrate Chinese New Year, Mum, you're putting red envelopes throughout our stores.
Lano?
Okay, I'm putting red envelopes throughout our stores.
Oh, you're a smart boy.
Thanks, Mum.
Happy Chinese New Year. I'm Yanda Lee.
I'm Lionel Lee.
Limited time. Excludes Asco and Milo. Terms and conditions apply. See binglee.com.au for details.
When suddenly he gets the feeling he's been surrounded by...
The Country Championships is coming to Goulburn, February 20. Featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses.
Thechampionships.com.au.
Hi, John Tapp here, inviting harness racing fans to join Chris Lang and myself for a wonderful European adventure highlighted by a day at the Elite Lop in Sweden. We'd love to have your company. Google Jeremy Nolan Travel.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Dave and Ray. Dave, we've got some huge prizes to give away today. It's Pride City, this show. It's amazing.
It is.
The biggest one is the ATC membership prize. It's the golden ticket for the 6 days of the Sydney Autumn Carnival, the 3 days at Rose Hill, including the Golden Slipper, then the next 3 Saturdays at Royal Randwick, including both days of the championships. Look, the total value of that prize is $340. Yep. We're giving away 2 tickets today to our best caller, SMS or Twitter. Remember, you can call us on 1353 53 or SMS on 0419 767 272, and we're on Twitter on at Big Sports Wend, WEN at Big Sports Wend. Also, Dave, the Event Cinemas double pass to the VMAX, courtesy of Mark at Event Cinemas. That'll be our 3 questions. We always get to do the first question in the first hour. Hopefully our producer Jeremy will be on top of us and make sure we do crack the whip there. So don't forget, 3 questions there, you get them right. Double pass to the Event Cinemas at VMAX, courtesy of Mark at Event Cinemas. And don't forget our BSB prize pack for the quiz, which comes up just after 7:30. A lot of prizes in that, Dave. I wouldn't mind winning that myself one day. And we've got plenty of Sports Year Diaries to give away to callers throughout the show as well.
Stack them. And we've got some SMSs coming in here, Ray. Des Perrott said, G'day, boys. Is Jimmy's missing in action? Does it have anything to do with the last winner at Randwick yesterday? That was called Supreme Effort.
Kim War, yeah, right down the outside. Missing in action. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't have anything to do with the winner of the CFO Stakes at Caulfield, Suavita. We couldn't mention that and Jimmy in the same sentence.
Here's a good one too. Great sporting couples. Yul Brynner and Deborah the King and I. Lewis and Langer.
Yep, Roy and HG.
That's right, yeah. Jacker from Old Bar. Jack's always very funny. And hey, Ray, what do you make of General Leafe? Has been very disappointing. Cheers, Rabbit. I was on him yesterday. I thought he was my best bet of the day. I thought they'd go hard up front and he would swoop late, and he was disappointing.
What did he finish fourth, didn't he?
He finished fourth at every possible chance. Big money, just too good. I've got our first call for this morning. Anthony's on the line. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Terrific, Anthony.
Would Wayne better than Darius Boyd?
Oh, straight to the top of the list.
Here we go.
One won't go anywhere without the other. Well, also, just very quickly before we go on to the racing, the question I want to ask you, Bray. Mm-hmm. The Western Sydney Wanderers flare, that went off of Melbourne as well, so it's very hard to blame, you know, a whole club for some individuals, because you don't know where they could prop up, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it could be an opposition fan who can let off a flare, and then the Western Wanderers got to cop the brunt for it.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is, don't let off any flares.
No.
End of story. No, it doesn't matter what club it is, don't let off any, because, you know, go and get your entertainment elsewhere. Just watch the football.
Yeah. I feel for the players. It's the players who lose 3 points, not the club, you know?
Well, they're on notice from today, aren't they, Anthony? So we saw that last night, as you mentioned, the Melbourne local derby there. I was watching, I was channel surfing, Anthony. I only saw one flare go off. Was it just the one?
I'm not too sure. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, so another flare went off last night.
I did watch last week, and the Wanderers were actually in Melbourne when the flare went off. So, again, it was two flares in 2 weeks, both in Melbourne. So.
All right. Well, in other words, there'll be no flares let off at the Wanderers game today, right?
Well, I hope so, because I feel for the players.
Absolutely,
you know,
Guts
there for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Can't afford to lose 3 points. Yeah.
Ray, 2 very quick questions. Winks aside, was Colour Drops the run of the week?
Wasn't she impressive at Hawkesbury?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was hard hell, too.
Yeah, now, a 4-year-old mare from Team Hawks having a first start, that told me that she must have ability, because
I think it was well-bred too, wasn't it, Ray?
Absolutely, yeah. And Team Hawks wouldn't have persevered unless she was showing them something. That was a win and a half. Oh. I know you can get carried away by maiden wins. She sat last. Did you see it, Dave?
I did. Daylight second.
Tommy Berry took her to the outside. It was like, was it a Barrett trial, wasn't it, Anthony? Yeah, so watch out for her. She is definitely city class, and who knows how good she is. That was outstanding.
Yeah, and I just want to ask, if Tony McAvoy can have starters in the provincial championships because he's got a base at Hawkesbury, can Joe Ryan?
I'd imagine he could now. Yeah, he's got two stables. I'd need to check on that, Anthony.
You've got a order to be, couldn't you, really?
Yeah, well, so of course, Tony now has got his prime bases at Hawkesbury. It also has stables at Randwick. So
he calls that as a base.
Yeah, I will check on that. That's a good point, because I will check on that as to exactly what the rules are. But certainly, Gerald now has that new stable at Hawkesbury, which is absolutely flying. He's training winner after winner out there, Dave.
I'm off to the St. Curry Cup next week. I hope I'm looking forward to St. Curry, but I wish I knew the Goulburn one. I would have gone to Goulburn instead, but anyway.
Next Saturday,
Anthony, make sure you get to Tuncurry the night before, because Friday night coming, next Friday night at the Tuncurry Bowling Club, it's a big sporting night. It's a fundraiser for the local Men's Prostate Cancer Foundation, and Jimmy Cassidy, the pumper.
A great man.
Alan Robinson will be there, and Lukey Mahalo is going to be joining in as well.
Oh,
and
great fun.
So get there on Friday night, this Friday night coming the night before at the Tuncurry Bowling Club.
Fantastic. Thanks for your call.
Good on you, Anthony. Thanks, mate. Well, he beats me hard to beat. Wayne Bennett and Darius Boyd.
I know.
Great sporting couple.
Speaking of Roy and HG, what about Rampaging Roy and Grassy Granell? They had a bond.
That they did too, yeah.
The Lithgow Shamrock.
That's right.
They had a bond, yeah.
Well, I don't know what you made of Winks yesterday, Dave. I just thought she was phenomenal.
I thought she was excellent. Hugh Bowman, very patiently ridden, and with H. Bowman on top, you just add a length or two, you know.
Doesn't he compliment her?
Absolutely.
They're just patient and cool, and that's the way she likes to be ridden. She's got that amazing turn of foot, so she can turn imminent defeat into an easy win, and she does make winning look easy at the moment. She's in tremendous form, and really, who's going to beat her, Dave?
I've got no idea. I think she's going to go to the Chipping Norton next. Is that correct?
Chris Waller hinted yesterday it's most likely the next run in 2 weeks. From there, he has a couple of options, whether he goes to the Ranvet to 2,000 or probably tries to keep her on the fresh side for the George Ryder. That then potentially leaves the door open for a possible Doncaster start. But we'll ask Chris all that later. Of course, the Doncaster is a week before her main mission, the QE Stakes, but she's super exciting.
She is, and she's wonderful for racing. I mean, I was speaking to you yesterday, and we both said that racing needs like stars like Winks. And her return was sensational. There was a good tempo set. And
Solicit ran a great race. Jill Ryan's team went terrific in both states yesterday. Of course, she set the tempo for the race and hoping race fitness would kick in, but Winks just gathers them up so quickly. The All Stakes by comparison, big field, a lot of interference. Bow Creek, one horse who was knocked down, a lot of great runs, but terrific training effort, as you mentioned, by Nigel Blackiston to get Suavito back from a serious injury. She missed the spring and she was terrific first up yesterday.
And I think the last time that she resumed over 1,400 metres, she won the Futurity.
That's right, yeah, she's a good mare. And I don't know if you saw any of the harness racing at Menangle last night, the Miracle Mile qualifiers. The great Bow Tied back again.
Oh, what a champ.
He paced 150.7. He was terrific. A four-year-old mare in the Chariot Sapphire called Have Faith in Me went 148.8. It was phenomenal and did it easily, almost 2 seconds faster than the champ. She'll go into the Miracle Mile. The field's basically set now. Lenny the Shark's there. Could be one of the great Miracle Miles.
It sounds like it. Just a week away.
Can't wait for it. Dave, with the St. George game, the crowd you said is about 13,000?
Well, yeah. Look, I went out and had a look around, and it honestly, to me, I know it's a big stadium, but to me it didn't feel like 13,000. And as I said, there was no atmosphere. I know it's a fundraiser, you know, for the hospitals, for the respective hospitals, but I just thought if they had lowered the general admission ticket price, maybe $15, you know, you could get more families out there.
And probably a bit later in the evening, as you suggest, we're still in the middle of summer.
Absolutely. So, I just thought for a trial match, and I know it's the Charity Shield, but it's a trial. And have a look at the teams that took the park. I just thought $35 was
a little bit steep,
and the time of the match, 5:35, doesn't work.
Yeah, no, especially this time of year. Do you watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Dave?
No, I avoid it like the plague.
Well, one of the comments from Shane Warne out of that was just staggering when he just basically teed off about Steve Waugh from something that happened in 1999 during the week. Described Steve Waugh as the most selfish cricketer he's ever played with, and basically let everyone know that there's no love lost there. Happened 17 years ago.
Yeah.
What both players have done for Australian cricket is phenomenal. What Steve Waugh contributed to the game and still does, and what he does for charity work in India, sure, you let bygones be bygones. You move on, don't you?
How many times did Tugger dig Australia out of trouble in test matches? And that test at the SCG,
When he got the 100?
When he got the 100, was just absolutely sensational. Look, he's a Bulldogs fan, and I run into him every now and then. He always gives me a dig about the Dragons. But I can tell you now, absolute legend of the game.
Oh, one of my heroes. Amazing thing was he made the tough call in that series. The series was on the line going to the fourth test. Warne had that shoulder reconstruction, had come back. He wasn't bowling well. Brian Lara was taking Warney apart.
Yeah.
Steve Waugh made a tough call to drop Warney, bring in Colin Miller. They won the test. They retained the Sir Frank Worrell Trophy.
Yep.
Warne was back in the team once fully fit, got his confidence back. He was back in the team the next series, but It did happen 17 years ago.
Look, I love Warnie, but he needs to go to university, he needs to get an engineering degree, and then he needs to build a bridge.
Exactly. You let bygones be bygones, don't you? But, gee, as we mentioned earlier, Adam Voges is just absolutely flying. The Tests will resume at Wellington this morning. Australia already 280 runs in front, 4 wickets in hand. Voges 176 not out.
Yep.
The pitch is flat as anything. I'll probably keep batting. I think for most of this day, there's still 3-4 days to go. Build that lead up towards 400, maybe even more, and then try and bowl New Zealand out.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Fingers crossed. Hey.
Extreme fire danger is in place for parts of coastal WA today. The Carnarvon and Shark Bay shires face extremely dangerous fire conditions, while a number of other nearby shires have severe fire danger ratings. Residents have been warned to have their bushfire survival plan ready. Meanwhile, in Victoria, an advice is in place for Dereal and Mount Mercer due to a bushfire burning south of Ballarat on Tippetts Road at Dereal. Malcolm Turnbull has announced his new front bench at the end of another week of turmoil, which resulted in two ministers retiring and another resigning. Queensland Liberal Steve Chobo is the big winner, taking over trade from the retiring Andrew Robb, who will stay on as special trade envoy until the next election. Mr Chobo says it's now time for the government to focus on the months ahead.
This is an opportunity for us to continue the renewal process as part of this government's putting Australia on the right track and repairing the damage that was left by the Australian Labor Party. Malcolm Turnbull, as Prime Minister, continues to have a very clear and articulate vision about what we want this nation to be.
Six women are now in Cabinet, while the Nationals also have an extra seat with Senator Nash and Darren Chester joining Barnaby Joyce and Nigel Scullion. The new ministerial lineup will be sworn in by Governor-General Peter Cosgrove in Canberra on Thursday. Hundreds of people have rallied in front of a Brisbane hospital to support doctors who are refusing to discharge a baby to prevent her from being sent back to immigration detention in Nauru. The 12-month-old girl, known as Baby Asha, was brought to Lady Salento Children's Hospital after suffering burns when boiling water was accidentally spilled on her while she was at Nauru. Doctors for Refugees spokesman Dr. Richard Kidd says the medical staff protecting Asha are standing by the Hippocratic Oath to look after their patients' well-being. Somalian jihadist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for a bomb blast that tore a hole in the side of a plane and forced an emergency landing last week. The suspected suicide bomber was the only person killed in the blast on the Darlo Airlines flight from Mogadishu. Officials said afterwards he had been meant to travel on a Turkish Airlines flight that was cancelled due to bad weather. A water skier who died at a competition on the Murray River has been named as 47-year-old New South Wales man Kevin Vartrick. Mr Vartrick of Tennyson was pulled unconscious from the water at Moama yesterday afternoon after losing contact with his boat during a qualifying session for the Southern 80 water ski event. Police and paramedics were unable to revive him. Tasmania will review its local council operations in a bid to improve governance. The state has 29 councils covering a population of just 500,000. In comparison, the city of Brisbane by itself has more than double the number of people. A new report says housing markets in iconic lifestyle areas such as the Gold Coast and Cairns are returning to growth after a weak period between 2008 and 2014. Property analytics firm CoreLogic RP Data says equity-rich property owners in Sydney and Melbourne are now looking to buy second homes in the holiday destinations. Areas like Newcastle and Wollongong are also experiencing a boost as those priced out of the Sydney market begin to look further afield. Also in news, Pakistan's president has called on his country to boycott Valentine's Day, calling it a Western tradition that conflicts with Muslim ideals. This is AIR News. In cricket, Adam Voges battled through the second day of the Wellington Test against New Zealand to take Australia to 6 for 463 and to a lead of 280 runs. He was 176 not out and had taken his test average to over 100 and had scored 551 runs since being last dismissed. Usman Khawaja praised Voges after they shared a fourth wicket partnership of 168.
It's almost faultless. The way he went about it, batted very sensibly, patiently at the start, was hitting a lot of good shots straight to fielders, didn't get frustrated with it, batted the whole day, and the way he's been batting lately, just honestly feels like he's not going to get out sometimes, and he's making hundreds, he's making big hundreds, which is important for the team.
Parramatta have been brought down from their Auckland Nines high after Gold Coast fought back at the death to grab a 20-all NRL trial draw. Prop Eddie Pettibourne scored on the siren and Nathan Davis converted from in front to cap a late Titans fight back at Anzac Oval in Alice Springs. Meanwhile, South Sydney have defeated St George Illawarra 18-14 at Sydney's Olympic Stadium to win the NRL Charity Shield. Also in sport, Perth are 2 points shy of the A-League's top six after sending Sydney FC to a sobering 2-1 defeat, and the Western Force have downed the Asia Pacific Dragons 34-26, ending their Super Rugby pre-season campaign on a high note. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot and mostly sunny for Valentine's Day. A slight chance, 20% chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm in the west. Winds today, north to northwesterly, 10 to 15 kilometres an hour, shifting southeasterly, 15 to 20 in the middle of the day, and it'll get windy later on, up to 30 k's near the coast by the evening. That's Sydney. What about, let's go northwest to Richmond, Ray.
Yeah, well, Sydney will be 31. Richmond, really hot today, Dave, 38 degrees. And what about a beautiful part of the world, much cooler there, 27, perhaps some late drizzle.
Okay, yeah, the Marimbula Cup coming up at Bega, the Sapphire Coast Racetrack, on Friday, March the 4th. And I look forward to seeing you there.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Dave. Dave's kindly filling in for Jimmy Smith, who's having a little family holiday in America. Our theme today, Dave, is great sporting couples. Here's one. This is from John from Moorbank. Kim and Mark Waugh, hard to beat. Candice Falzone and Dave Warner.
Yep.
I think John, we'll send John a sports year diary up. That's a very, very good one.
Yeah, good on you, John. John from Moorbank. And speaking of people from around that area, I just got a text from Barry Ward, the former...
St George in Canterbury?
Yeah, no, not St George. No, he ran over a few St George players in his time, Big Bazza. He goes, yeah, I love waking up to you, Dave, doing the weather, but you know Stevie Jacobs, mate. and Ray, you're no Jordan Spieth. I mean, Barry, you're no Jordan Spieth, pal. So remember, hit him straight next time you're on the course because there were birds and people ducking for cover at the Bulldogs golf day at Bankstown the other day.
How do you hit him, Dave, all right?
How do I hit him? Mm. Oh, okay, not too bad. But Barry, I tell you what. Look out. When he's got the ball on the tee, just get out of the way.
I don't have time to play golf anymore. I love my golf. I assume you have any time. But anyway, look, races yesterday at Randwick. The track played pretty well. Again, had to be off the fence, which seems to be the norm at Randwick these days. But probably three or four horses off the fence seemed to be the best part of the track. But the racing was pretty intense, very competitive. And the two-year-old race in the Godolphin Blue Army just marches on. Yeah. This is a giant of a colt, Telperion. He's pretty good, Dave. Watch for this horse going forward.
And Telperion still back last, three or four lengths off the leader as they straighten. And Vienna Waltz has set a pretty genuine tempo here from Prized Icon, who's being nursed up the rise in second, Sugar Palmer. And Telperion sprinting quickly on the outside. Wanted to lay in a bit under pressure, Telperion. Puts its head in front, though, from Prized Icon. Sprite's trying to close off on the fence, but Telperion edges to the lead by a half length on Prized Icon and Sprite and Telperion. James McDonald gets the first favourite home. Telperion a length on the line to Prized Icon. Sprite a close third from Sugar Palmer.
Well, the money was right, Ray. Telperion heavily backed, while Prized Icon, it drifted in the market, in the ring, and that's exactly how the race panned out.
Exactly. His racing style, perhaps you would suggest he's more suited to a size and a champagne Telperion, but then again, when you think about it, Golden Slipper's high pressure, high intensity, a big, strong, tough colt coming from off the speed like Telperion. Gee, I think he's some sort of a hope. We'll know more, though, when he goes to the Skyline Stakes next. That's his next target. And John O'Shea will decide from there which path he takes in the autumn with Telperion. But he's got some two-year-old talent, that's for sure. The Light Finger Stakes, the king of the schnitzels, Gerald Ryan. He's remarkable, isn't he? Last week, spill the beans in the Eskimo Prince. Yesterday, Perignon upset some high-profile fillies in an exciting finish.
It's Tempmedot in second behind Harlem River. Kangarilla Joy is being cuddled here by Bowman. Now he pops the question. Stay with me. Five lengths off them. Harlem River is trying to fend off. Tempmedot is getting closer with every stride. Kangarilla Joy under pressure. Perignon's running on. Tempmedot hits the lead. Perignon's flushing him on the outside. Kangarilla Joy is pecking up now. Perrinon dives and got up. Perrinon wins the light fingers from Kangarilla Joy, who was brave. Tep Me Not third in front of Harlem River. Stay
with well, me. It was a drifter, Perrinon, on track. $5 out to $9. And Gerald Ryan, he's had a couple of good weeks with the three-year-olds, with Spill the Beans taking out the Eskimo Prince a week ago at Randwick.
Yeah, and his horses ran well again yesterday. The mention of his solicitor gave Winks a good run for her money in the Apollo Stakes coming up shortly. And Red Excitement and Dances on Stars ran second and third for him in Melbourne in the Carline Cup behind Burning Front. So his horses are going terrific. Southern Cross Stakes, another exciting finish and a great story behind the winner, Big Money.
Turning for home, Aussies Love Sport in front. McAvoy makes his move now on Rich Enough, and it strides up on the outside. Rich Enough puts its head in front from Aussies Love Sport. Boss Lane's running on, so's Decision Time on the running rail, and Decision Time going after Rich Enough. Big Money starting to cut loose on the outside. Here's Big Money going after Rich Enough and Decision Time. Three-way go, wide out, Big Money lunges. Oh, it's a close one. Big Money lunges at Decision Time and Rich Enough. Good three-way tussle. General Ife closing off.
Yeah, what a win. Mm. What a rider. The Evergreen Hall of Famer, Robert Thompson. One of my favourite horses, and I am speaking through my pocket because I do remember the Ramorny quite well with Big Money taking it out for Rod Northam.
He's a great jockey, isn't Robert Thompson. 4,200 career winners almost now. And he told me yesterday he rode the mother, Lynn's Money, to win at Randwick some years ago. And he also said that when she gave birth to Big Money, she was a week old, suffered a snake bite and lost a life. So Big Money was bottle reared basically as when he was born. So he's not the biggest horse in the world. Neither was his dam, by the way. But he's got a big heart. Terrific run by Decision Time from Clary Connors, the old bloke. He raced in the 2010
Slipper.
Golden Slipper. He's still going around. It was tremendous yesterday. For a few strides there, I thought he was going to win.
Me too.
Rich Enough was heavily backed. Probably had every chance, but I'm prepared to give him another chance, Dave, because he only had the one trial going into the Southern Cross Stakes. He's a big, gross 4-year-old colt, and he'll improve off that.
Yep. Now, it was great to see Robert coming to town. Mm. When he comes to town, he has great success. Remember, he used to come and ride the Jackal when
had
come down, and he'd most often leave with the chocolates
he
as
did.
Well.
He's a great man. I did ask him to come on the show today, and he's happy to do so, but he said, Ray, I'll be up milking cows. You'll just keep trying me. So that's his Sunday morning. He's riding today, but he's milking cows bright and early, but we will try him.
All right.
Now, this is it, Dave. I can watch this and listen to it time and time again. I reckon she's a champion, but I was accused earlier in the week of being overzealous by a caller at the Daily Telegraph, and fair enough, fair point, because she hasn't been around perhaps long enough yet to warrant that status. But what she does in races is spectacular. How she wins is memorable.
Winks.
She's what racing needs.
Solicit straightens in front. Winks will go back to the inside. Lee Baz Dibiani under the whip. Solicit in front. Now Winks is being called upon by Bowman. And here comes Winks going after Solicit. Solicit ahead in front. But Winks is going through her gears. And look at her go! Winks! Oh, she's certainly the best. Great return to racing. Won it comfortably by a length on the line to Solicit. Haraki in a photo for third with Dibiani. Then Lee Baz.
What a star. I mean, Winks, she's back. She's back to Cox Plate winner. And Hugh Bowman, brilliant ride, perfectly timed ride. And he just put her in the right place.
He did, yeah. Look, Kieran McAvoy tried to make it a good, strong 1,400, knowing he had Solicit, a race fit Solicit. And she certainly gave Winks a run for her money. But that acceleration, Dave, it can get her in out of trouble so quickly. And look, as I said earlier, I think barring bad luck, she's the horse to beat in anything she contests this autumn. Be interesting to see what weight she gets in the Doncaster Mile and whether it's enough to tempt Chris Wall to go there. But certainly in her present form, she deserves to be a short price favourite for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, despite the fact we've got at least four Japanese horses coming out.
Well, I was reading on RaceNet, Hugh Bowman was quoted, and he said, the pace was genuine. I suspected it might be. In the middle stages, I felt I may have been getting a little too far out of touch, but I needed to do that to keep my mare comfortable. And Hugh added, I wanted to make sure she was comfortable, and she certainly didn't let me down when I needed her. She's only going to improve as the distances increase. She's a special mare, and it's a privilege to be on her.
And it's a privilege to watch her, actually. And if you think about it, this century, haven't we had some remarkable mares, starting off with Sunline, then Maccabi Diva, the incomparable Black Caviar, and now we've got Winks, who's won. I'm not putting her in that category yet, and that's probably silly to say that, but she's gone six straight. She's beaten the best around. She's beaten them by and large, pointlessly most of the time. If she hasn't, she's come with those spectacular late surges like in the Theo Marks, and she's so versatile. She's winning from 1,300 metres in the Theo Marks through to 2,040 in the Cox Plate, and she's an Oaks winner from last winter. So the versatility factor is very, very rare in the modern era.
Yeah, one of my favourite mares goes back a bit, How Now.
Remember How Now, the 76 Caulfield Cup winner? Yeah.
One of the greatest rides ever from Johnny Stocker.
From gate 18.
Yep.
Yeah,
was it? Led at the post, Mannerism, another one. And Hot Danish, of course.
She was a great mare, Hot Danish.
In recent times, yeah.
And the public love mares, and I think whatever the Sydney Racing does through the autumn, just pin your wagon to Winx, because she'll be the ticket to get to the track, because she's so popular already.
You betcha.
The All Stakes was stacked with Group 1 winners. It was a terrific race. Huge field, a lot of interference though, but taking nothing away from Miss Mare. Great to see her back, Suavito.
Turn Me Loose around the turn, more than a length on Mourinho and Tardy Platinum. Svovito is getting through. Lucky Hustle still in traffic, and so is Bow Creek on the rail. Turn Me Loose, 150 to go. He's a length and a half. Svovito gets out and runs on, and here's Hucklebuck coming now. Svovito got to the lead. Svovito in front of Rebel Dane. Turn Me Loose, Svovito wins it. Lucky Hustle flew. He was unlucky. Close for third between Hucklebuck, Rebel Dane, and Turn Me Loose on the rail. Boban, best work laid out wide on the course from Fenway. Awesome rocks runner cracker.
Yeah. The daughter of Thorn Park, good training performance by Nigel Blackiston. She'd been injured. And Luke Curry got the ride. Damien Oliver was going to ride her, but Luke Curry got it and didn't disappoint from the perfect gate.
And a few horses unlucky in that race. We heard from Lucky Hustler. I thought Hucklebuck's run was excellent. He's not far off. Termulus led into the straight. He's never won first up before, so if you backed him yesterday, stay with him. He's a horse who improves as his campaigns go deep into his preparations. Rebel Dane was good. Boban didn't have a lot of luck, and Bow Creek was poleaxed halfway down the straight, and his run was so good, he's firmed in the Australian Cup. Just a couple other points from yesterday's meeting, Dave. The Blue Diamond Preludes, Samara Dance, the Adelaide filly, her turn of foot was electric. She's a real hope in the Blue Diamond. She was outstanding. Flying Artie's effort to come from so far back and win for Damien Oliver was a stunning performance. He's right in the Blue Diamond. Headley, she could win the Oakley Plate on yesterday's run. It was a speedball.
Well, absolutely. To the front, and nothing else got a look in. She just extended in the straight.
And talk about mares in form. She's in a rich vein of form right now. So, and Mahuta, it's seven straight for him, I think, or six straight. He just keeps winning. He's as tough as they come, Mahuta. Darren Weir.
Darren Weir. We've got to give Darren a big rap. Four winners at Caulfield yesterday.
He can train. Big night at Menangle last night. We're getting to the business end. 2 weeks to the Miracle Mile. The field's been finalised. And the champ of harness racing is back, Bowtied. He was terrific last night, Dave.
There's only five or six lengths top end to tail. It's Bowtied the leader. Three parts of a length on our Sky Major, who's right there in second spot, and third at the moment, easy on the eye. The next one then, as they come for home, is Major Crocker from Blazon and Cullen, Swarf, Stewie Lombo, Our High Jinx, and Cold Major to the outside. Third quarter was 26.9. He went boom, and he gets a length and a half clear. Getting out now is easy on the eye to give chase. Blazon and Cullen drives up on the inside, and they were followed further out by the outside Cold Major, but it's Bowtied. He's a length and a half clear. Interest in the minors. John McCarthy might qualify too. But up on the outside, it's Bowtied clear, and Bowtied. He's done it. Bowtied gets there, beats, I think, Blazon and Cullen. Johnny McCarthy gets two into the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, Freddie Hastings cool
there.
At his
best. At his best, Freddie.
Yeah, absolutely. The great Roosters man that he is. But all the way, Bowtied controlled the race, and what a pacer.
Yeah, it's great to have him back. He's now won his three consecutive races at Menangle. He'll go into the race in 2 weeks rock hard fit. Look, probably at a mile, it's not his best trip, but if he can get to the front, he can run those sectionals. But as I said, Dave, I watched that mare in the Chariots of Fire. She was extraordinary. I think I heard Adam Hamilton use the word astonishing. Have faith in me. 148.8, which was nearly 2 seconds faster than Bowtied.
Yeah, and next weekend, Tabcorp Park, Menangle.
Yep.
Bring it on.
Dave, this is going off the great sporting themes. Here's, love this one. Ray and Dave, great sporting couples. How about Jack Gibson and Ron Massey?
Yes.
And a second coupling, Reg Gasnier and Graham Langlands as a centre pairing. I wish I was old enough to have seen them play.
I saw
Changa play at the end of his career, but Gasnier and Langlands together in the centres, wow.
I was speaking to my stepdad, Tony, yesterday, and he said Graham Langlands is the greatest player he's ever seen, and I agree with him. Chang, look,
Loved him.
Everyone has a go at him about the 75 grand final. I reckon that's probably the only bad game he played. Chang was just an absolute legend, and Gaz, of course. So thanks to Tony and Nara for that. What else have we got here? The milkman from Yass says Zorba and Hollywood.
They were 20-odd years together, weren't they? The great men. We'll have Zorba on very shortly, too. So
Pete Moody and Black Caviar.
It's hard to beat.
What else have we got? Tiger Woods and Lindsay Vonn been at three Olympics, won gold and bronze in the alpine skiing. Well, up there as well, Tanya and Ray Thomas. Tanya, of course, a netball star and a Parramatta cheerleader in 83 when I'm sure Zorb would like to forget when they when they smashed Manly again in the 83.
She'll hate me for telling you about that too. That's from Rob, so we might send Rob out a big sports breakfast sports diary. What do you think?
Yeah, personally signed by yourself and Tanya, hey?
I don't know about that. I'll get Tanya to sign it for him.
All right. Big sports breakfast. Jimmy Smith, he's away gallivanting around somewhere, probably in Vegas. Dave Carlson and Ray Thomas for your Sunday morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to support the Women's Cancer Foundation in the annual Teal Pants Awareness Campaign. Over the next month, Harness Racing New South Wales and Tabcorp will donate $400 for every female-driven winner.
Better draw first to see the judge, but there's a mile of room for Yaya's hotspot to give chase. It's on a loose rein, the leader.
Go the Teal Pants. This month on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This is John Tapp inviting harness racing fans to join Chris Lang and myself for the 2016 Elite Lock Tour. Visit some great places and see the world's best trotters in action in Sweden. Google Jeremy Nolan Travel for full details.
And suddenly, he gets the feeling he's been surrounded by...
The Country Championships is coming to Scone, February 21. Featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses, horses, horses.
Thechampionships.com.au.
Dave, this is a great promotion. During February and March, Harness Racing Victoria, New South Wales and Canberra, plus tab.com.au, are supporting the Ovarian Cancer Institute by donating $200 each for every race won by a female driver. So get down to your local harness racing track and cheer for the women drivers in teal pants. Yep. You'll be able to spot them.
Yep.
To help support the Ovarian Cancer Institute and the great work they achieve. Find out more at womenscancerfoundation.org.au.
Yes.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Tell you what, Ray, it'd be great to see them step out in those teal pants on Miracle Mile Day, which is coming up on Sunday, February 28th.
That's it, 2 weeks' time for the big race, and the final field basically out now, Dave.
Okay, so go those ladies in the teal pants. There's been plenty of wins from the girls in the last couple of weeks.
Well,
so.
Natalie Rasmussen last night on Have Faith in Me. I keep going back to this mare, but she was just extraordinary. Takes on the big guns, though, Bow Tide and Lenny the Shark in a couple of weeks. Talking on taking on the big guns, Rod Northam's got some huge plans for big money, and why not, Dave? He was terrific yesterday. Ran down decision time and rich enough. His first win for 14 months, but I think Rod's got some legitimate reasons why the horse has been out of winning form for a while. He's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Rod, good morning. Good morning. Congratulations on a great win yesterday.
Thanks, Ray. Good morning.
Rod, you were telling me yesterday that the horse has had hoof issues probably basically his whole career. So you bit the board after the Brisbane Winter Carnival, missed the spring, and you've got the horse back better than ever now.
Yeah, he's just said, like, he's always had hoof issues. As a young horse, we couldn't get him to the races until he was a late three-year-old, and he probably hadn't had a really good break for quite a while. And during the Winter Carnival, we just really struggled to keep him sound. I thought, we'll just stick him in the paddock and leave him out there until the farrier says he's right to come back in. So we did that, and when my farrier, James Balfe, does a great job with his feet, he said, we're right to go, so we brought him in and thought we'd target a few of these earlier races during the autumn.
Well, Rod, being third up from a spell, I guess that was the key. He had that race fitness on his side.
Yeah, he did. He hadn't had a trial. I opted to race him instead of trialing him. I don't really like the trialing too much. You can run him around. I think he picked up 30,000 his first two starts, and obviously he would have had two trials. It would have cost the owners money. So we thought we'd get him fit racing him, and I always thought third up he'd have to be pretty hard to beat.
And what I was staggered, well, I probably should have realised it, but it sort of escaped my attention. That was his first win in Sydney yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Mm. It was. He's sort of been travelling around everywhere else, but, you know, it's his first win in Sydney, so it's nice to win in Sydney. Sort of horse that gets back in his races, and sometimes the way the pattern of the racing in Sydney doesn't really suit those sort of horses with small fields sometimes. So,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, he's done a lot of racing in Brisbane.
Rod, there hasn't been a stack of rain in Sydney lately, so the firm track was probably in his favour as well.
Yeah, he is better on top of the ground. I know he's a Schwazier, he does handle a slow track, but I do think he's better on top of the ground. His mother was absolutely terrible on a wet track, and so his sister and his brother. I've trained the whole family, so... he does like a firm surface.
And is that right, Rod? Rob Thompson was telling me after the race that Lynn's money, he won on her at Randwick one day for you as well some years ago, but she died a week after giving birth to Big Money?
Yeah, that's right.
A snake bite or something?
Yeah, snake bite. He's the third file out of the mare, and, that was a bit of quite sad, really. The first file was okay, and he won quite a lot of money. I think he won about 300,000 or 400,000, and Big Money. He was only a week old, so he had a foster mother, and so he was the last one out of the van.
I believe, Roger, you're planning to bring Big Money back to Sydney in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think there's a Liverpool City Cup in 2 weeks' time, a 1300, which would probably suit him. Group three. Probably head that way. I'll just see. He's raced 3 weeks, 2 weeks apart in his last three runs, and I'll just sort of see how he comes through this run. And if he does well this week, then that is an option.
And Rod, the country championship start this weekend with a heat up at Scone. Of course, Big Money's not qualified. He's too good for the series. But have you got anything for the series? And what's your thoughts on the whole concept?
I've got I've probably got four there that I'll right. nominate.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Hot Vinny, who runs second at Canterbury last start.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be nominated. He's won five races, so he'll probably cop a bit of weight. Sergeant Dokes has been a bit disappointed. I'm not sure if I'll run him.
Right.
He probably qualifies. After all, that's probably my main chance. He won well at Newcastle last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lightly raced horse, sort of on the up. And Old Huswick, we'll throw a nom in there, and he might sneak into the field as well. But it is a really good concept. I think it's it's, I think some regions are a bit stronger than others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in the Tab Highways, aren't we, Rod?
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. We are. In saying that, though, I think we do need to look after some of the guys, and probably a little bit of the weaker regions, give them an opportunity to get a bit of money as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's just as tough to train horses out there as it is anywhere else. And, you know, they probably don't have the quality of horse, but they still do a good job of what they've got. So I do, it probably could be tweaked a little bit, but I don't like the idea of sort of not giving the guys out west the opportunity that
it's a good point. It's a good point. Look, Rod, it was great to see Big Money back yesterday. It's a popular sprinter with race fans, and it's always great to see Robert Thompson come down, and you've got a great association with him. And as Dave mentioned earlier, we're looking forward to seeing Big Money right through the Autumn Carnival in Sydney. Thanks for joining us, Rod.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
Great trainer on Northam and fantastic with Big Money and Robert Thompson on board. Hopefully we can get Rob a little bit later on.
He's milking the cows, he told me. So. Hey, plenty more SMSs coming in. I'm loving these. Morning, Dave and Ray. Jeff Fennick and Johnny Lewis. They were a great couple.
What a great combination.
I saw Jeff Fennick fight a few times when I was living in Melbourne in the late 80s. Good morning, boys. Yeah, my sporting combo is Natalie Cook and Kerry Pothast. They are a bit easier to look at than the others. Cheers, Danny from Yarunga.
Danny from Yarunga, thank you very much for your SMS on Bondi Beach. Who could forget them? They were sensational.
Here's one from Eagle-Eyed Phil. He's always right on the money, Dave. To Ray and Disco Dave, Adam Voges now has the most runs in Test cricket between dismissals. It is 551 runs and counting since he was last dismissed. The previous record was held by the great Sachin Tendulkar at 497. Adam Voges, Sir Donald Bradman, Sachin Tendulkar, he's in pretty elite company there, Dave.
He is. I'll tell you something about Adam Voges. He's a really nice bloke. There's no mug in him. He's a very, very nice guy.
You know what? 36 years old. He waited a long time. He's finally got an opportunity. Good luck to him. If he goes and breaks all the records and people start criticizing, well, who cares? And more importantly, he's making the most of his opportunities. That's all you can do in life.
He's doing his mark, guest.
Great first hour, Dave. Plenty more coming up next hour. Look forward to having your company on 1353 with Dave and Ray.
The Big Sports Breakfast News for Toyota Material Handling.com.au. Australia's first choice in forklifts.
On Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1, Channel 519, the Big Sports Breakfast News.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has shored up his cabinet ranks for election year with a younger look and increased National Party and female presence. Mr Turnbull was forced to rejig his front bench following the retirement announcements of Deputy Prime Minister Warren Truss and Trade Minister Andrew Robb, as well as resignations of Minister of State Mal Brough and Junior Ministers Stuart Robert and Jamie Briggs. Cabinet has been expanded by 1 to 22, with the Nationals getting a fourth seat at the table as Mr Turnbull banks on his coalition partners campaigning strongly in regional Australia at this year's general election. The Prime Minister says his bench combines youth, new talent and experience.
I'm delighted with the way the government has been established or re-established under my leadership. We've made strong policy changes. Change is good. It is important in any organisation, including in a government.
An extreme fire danger rating is in place for parts of coastal WA today. The Carnarvon and Shark Bay shires face extremely dangerous fire conditions, while a number of other nearby shires have severe fire danger ratings. Residents have been warned to have their bushfire survival plan ready. Meanwhile, in Victoria, an advice is in place for Dereal and Mount Mercer after a bushfire on Tippetts Road at Dereal is burning out of control. Protesters intend to remain outside a Brisbane hospital in support of doctors who are refusing to discharge a baby girl to prevent her being sent back to Nauru. Mark Gillespie of the Refugee Action Coalition told Macquarie they are there for as long as it takes.
For the time being, it's going to be continuing until there's a successful outcome.
The 12-month-old girl, known as Baby Asha, was brought to Lady Salento Children's Hospital after suffering burns from boiling water. Brazil's government has launched a nationwide campaign to fight the Zika virus with 220,000 troops aiming to visit more than 3 million homes across the country to hand out leaflets about the disease. There are no vaccinations or treatment for the Zika virus, which is thought to have caused thousands of babies in Brazil to be born with severe birth defects. In neighbouring Colombia, the health authority says there are more than 31,000 cases of Zika virus in the country, including more than 5,000 pregnant women. Israel's military says a Palestinian woman who tried to stab a soldier has been shot dead in the West Bank. In a fresh wave of violence over the past months, 27 Israelis and one US citizen have been killed. In the same period, Israeli forces have killed at least 158 Palestinians, with the UN criticising Israel for excessive use of force. Money can't buy love, but Australians are being warned to watch out for scammers who are trying anyway on Valentine's Day. More than 2,600 Australians lost almost $23 million to romance scams last year, with $4.4 million lost last February. Victorian Consumer Affairs Minister Jane Garrett has urged those looking for love online to look out for the warning signs and never ever send money to someone they've never met.
Also in news, Turkey's foreign minister says his country and Saudi Arabia may launch ground operations against Islamic State in Syria. And a young woman has died after being struck by a car while walking along a road with friends after attending a wedding on Victoria's Mornington Peninsula. This is AIR News. New Zealand face an uphill battle as they seek to salvage something from the Trans-Tasman Cricket Test Series opener in Wellington. Australia will resume at 6 for 463 today, having built a 280-run lead over the first 2 days of the Base and Reserve clash. Adam Voges is on 176, looking to heap further misery on the hosts after finishing day two with a test average of over 100. The tourists skittled New Zealand for 183 in two sessions after winning the toss, meaning there is plenty of time left in the game and no urgent need for a declaration. Usman Khawaja is enjoying the relaxed pace, saying it has helped him score all four of his test centuries in his last five tests.
You know, I always felt when I first played for Australia that I was sort of playing for my spot a little bit. I never really felt like I was in the team. Felt like I was sort of looking over my shoulder. This time I came around, scored 100 first game, sort of relieved the pressure a little bit.
Next week's Dubai Tennis Championship has suffered a pair of high-level pullouts as Serena Williams and Australian Open champion Angelique Kerber pulled the pin due to injury. It's the third time in four editions that world number one Williams has cancelled on the tournament, leaving defending champion Simona Halep as top seed. Williams says influenza is the reason for her absence, while Kerber has an injury to her right upper thigh. Bulldogs recruit Will Hopewadi has limped off in his side's 24-20 loss to the Panthers in a trial at Penrith. The former NRL Eels star fell awkwardly in a tackle in the 36th minute before coming from the field. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot and mostly sunny in Sydney today. A slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm in the west. Winds north-northwesterly 10 to 15 k's, shifting south-easterly in the middle of the day and increasing to 30 k's near the coast by the evening. Sydney will be a sunny day, top of 31 degrees. Dave, what about out at Terry Hills and Dubbo?
Well, Terry Hills, hang on, I'll just have a look out the window. Yeah, light in the morning and dark in the evening, and it's up around about 30. Dubbo's going to be up around 39 degrees today, and heading north the same, up all the way up
hot
to
Moree.
It's going to be a very, very hot day, so make sure you keep yourself watered and also your animals.
Hi, it's Andrew Bensley from Racing HQ. This Thursday morning between 9 and 10, we'll honour the remarkable training career of Kembla Grange's Bede Murray.
But it's Darcy Be Good for the Cup.
Bede is battling ill health, but many of his racing friends would like to honour him for what he's achieved in thoroughbred racing. Join us Thursday morning between 9 and 10 as we celebrate the training career of Bede Murray on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
We've snuck in here to have a chat with Greg. He and his mates have had a great day at the races and are now having dinner to celebrate. Greg.
Oh, g'day, Russell. I didn't see you there.
Good day at the races, it seems.
Oh, fantastic. We made the most of Tab's autumn offers, didn't we, fellas?
Woo-hoo! You too can also make the most of Tab's wide range of sensational racing offers throughout the autumn carnival. Find out more at tab.com.au. Tab, more than just winning.
Gamble responsibly. John Yule Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, my mates have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, purchase any new car from John Yule Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Yule Mazda at Regent Street, Alexandria or johnyulemazda.com.au. DL395.
Well, this has been good golf. Jason Day.
A phenomenal talent and a major champion.
Switch your play now. Foley inside ball to Beale. And Beale gets it to Bennett Foley. And Bennett Foley has got a double at Twickenham. A packed house. And those bold enough to wear gold in the crowd are on their feet. It's Djokovic.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Dave Carlson.
and welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend for a big second hour again, Dave. We've got Chris Waller hopefully coming up shortly, Damien Flower, maybe Robert Thompson, though, as we mentioned a couple of times, he's out milking his cows, so it might be a bit hard to get hold of him.
He'll come in. He'll come
Andy Pascalides, an update on all things football, and as I said, the great man Peter Zorba is back. We'll also have our BSB prize pack quiz a little later in the hour, and as we always do, Dave, we forgot the question for the first hour.
Okay, well, the question is, where is Big Money likely to have his next run? In which race is he likely to have his next run?
Perfect, okay. Our sporting theme this morning has been terrific. Here's a couple more. One from Crossy. Lads, what a mare. I was a massive Moore Joyous fan, and on her retirement, I went looking for my next love. And boys, Winx is my girl. What a horse. I started with $50 on her yesterday, and we'll just all up her each run this preparation. Well, it might be a pretty safe bet. And the man who can tell us a little bit more about Winx is Chris Waller. He's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Chris, good morning, and it was great to see you back yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. Ray, good morning and hi, Dave.
Right.
Yeah, it's good to hear listeners ring in and say things like that. I haven't really had a horse that's been at that level before, and it's quite exciting.
Yeah, Chris, the expectation, did that weigh on you at all leading into the race?
It didn't weigh on me, but I saw it as a responsibility. And, yeah, I guess to some degree it did weigh on me. Just didn't dare have given a chance to be too underdone. Obviously she was first up, and it's very hard to get them 100% fit for that first up run, as you know. But we did everything we possibly could to give her fit enough at home, and she had the two trials and exhibition go up and things like that. And I guess it also worked out well with a good draw, and probably not the strongest of pies, but in saying that, they all deserve to be there. And whether they stay or not, they can still run well fresh and take nothing away from Solicit. I remember her when it sang down at the end of her preparation in the spring. It was devastating. And yeah, she's certainly no slouch.
Well, it wasn't just the usual sit and sprint wait for age race, was it either, Chris? It was Solicit made it a contest. How did Winx pull up? And I guess where to next with the great mare?
Straight after the race, she pulled up fine. And this morning, I'm just sitting down at the stables now, so I'm not sure, but I'm sure she'll be right. Where to next? It'll be my suggestion to the owners that we go to the Chipping Norton in 2 weeks' time. Things change a little bit with a horse like her. You don't necessarily set them for a race in 3 or 4 starts time like we do with most of our horses, because that's the easier way to prepare a horse for a preparation. Have them peaking, say, third up at a Doncaster, or whether it be just a Saturday race at Rosehill or whatever it may be. But a horse like her, I think she's expected to run well every start, like your man that just run up and said he's going to double up the money each run. Well, she needs to win everywhere. Chipping Norton's most likely, and we'll just plot our way carefully through to ensure we can try and keep her winning. Maybe that's impossible. I don't know how Black Caviar did it, but we'll try our best. And it won't be staying away from the good horses either. It'll be running in the right races, and hopefully she's there all the way through the carnival. It'll be great if she could.
Well, Chris, yesterday 1,400 metres, and as the journey increases, she can only get better.
Yeah, I was going on a Cox Plate win. You'd be excited all the way through with 2,000 metre race, Dave, and you know, I haven't thought about that side of it, but we certainly know we've got a pretty competitive horse, whatever distance, and yeah, maybe 2,000 certainly is the best distance, which is a great thing.
Chris, I know one of my colleagues asked you an interesting question yesterday. What has changed with Winx since her second in the Oaks behind Gust of Wind?
I just think it's just confidence, right? And we can all relate to it. Whether it be in your work, whether it be as a teenager when you're starting to grow up, and as or in in the more notable case, sport, whether you be a batsman, a bowler, or a person taking the kicks for a State of Origin team, or someone, a quarterback in a Super Bowl. Sure, if you've got that confidence, whether it be a team, whether it be an individual, you just seem to go to another level. And not so much saying winning, but the way she finished her races off there when she started this winning sequence was coming from last and just charging home, like going faster than any other horse in the race. And it's like she's picked up some sort of sense of confidence and arrogance that she can just do it. And fortunately, it doesn't break her at the same time. Some horses can do it from one race, maybe the same as people, but then they get a little bit despondent. But we're just trying everything we can to keep that confidence up. And that's all I can say. There's always the added things, like she's had time and maturing with age, but I really do think it's confidence is the main thing.
Is it a cliche, Chris, when we talk about, we often talk about mares when they strike form. Is that just a cliche, though?
I think it is a cliche, but it just comes down to confidence.
Yeah.
And you could say the same about buildings. You could say the same about cults.
Exactly.
I think it just once you get that cliche, well, it often sticks and you often remember it. It's just similar to saying, oh, gee, the European horses just go well in Australia. Well, everyone sees the ones that go well, and we mention them when they win, or and we don't really realise the ones that are getting beaten.
A lot get beaten too, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that stick out to punters, and we comment on it when they're in their great form.
Well, we've been speaking about Winx. Let's go to a maiden handicap, Chris. You've got two in the first at Wyong today. You've got Tuscadero, this Sebring filly, and you've got Austrian, this Schnitzel Gelding, and they're both stepping up in journey. Do you rate them a decent show in the first today?
Austrian needs to pick up his game a little. He's been a promising trialer, but not so good at the races. So we'll go forward on him today and maybe just, well, not maybe, we will be trying something different. And Tuscadero, she's certainly one to follow. She was very unlucky in a couple of her runs, and certainly running good races, and she's ready to win. So maybe leaning towards Tuscadero, but like any horse in our stable, we're doing the best with them. So I'd never discount Austrian or any of our other runners if their form might not look quite as good. We're certainly doing everything we can to get them winning.
Mm. Well, it was great yesterday to see Winx back winning, Chris. I know you've got another fan favourite next week, Cat Kins, resuming, and press statement amongst others. It looks it up to be a terrific autumn carnival for you, and thanks very much for joining us bright and early on a Sunday morning.
I hope we're still talking at the end of the carnival, boys.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks very much.
Good on you, Chris. Chris Waller there. And actually, speaking of the first at Wyong, we've had one of the guys has got in touch with us by SMS, and he goes, Ray and Dave, race one, number one at Wyong today. So we've mentioned two of Chris's runners. This is Grand Castano, number one.
I like it too, yeah.
For Lee Curtis. And hopefully we'll break his good mate Lee Curtis's run of close seconds. Get on, we've been told.
Sky Sports Radio has the best form analysts spread right across the country, including Brisbane's Bernadette Cooper.
Well, I really wanted to tip Quick Catch last time out. It's a real neat, well put together little horse, a real professional little racehorse.
Quick Catch and Rallam Pago. Quick Catch poked the bib in front. Quick Catch in front of Rallam Pago. And Quick Catch wins again.
Every day, grab a bag full of winners with your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Vivit is here. Now is the time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. There's Coco Joy 100% coconut water, full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk in classic chocolate, coffee, and banana without the dairy. There's Coco Joy Kids featuring the magical Disney and Marvel characters. Latest in the range are Coco Joy Oil and Flour for guilt-free cooking. Discover Coco Joy's range at a store near you or at cocojoy.com.
Dave, did you realise John Newell Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer?
Yeah, well, I know they've been around a long time, the John Newell dealership. 25 years.
Well, to mark the occasion, they have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models, and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, they purchase any new car from John Newell Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. The odds are sensational to win $25,000 cash. So take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Newell Mazda, O'Riordan Street, Alexander, or johnnewellmazda.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And Dave, this was a really good win yesterday by Perignon, an underrated filly. And we've been lucky enough to be joined by one of the owners, Damien Flower, who's had a lot of success. He raced Schnitzel and he races Perignon. And I think he got a bit of a kick out of yesterday's win. Damien, good morning. Congratulations on Perignon's win yesterday.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Terrific, yeah. And fair to say you got a bit of a kick out of that yesterday because she's been an underrated filly. She's been thereabouts in some of these big races. And there was no fluke about that effort yesterday.
No, look, it wasn't a surprise, but it was a great kick. She's, as you all know, she's sort of been hitting up against Speak Fondly.
Yep.
Second in two Group 2s and third in the Group 1, so that was really, really pleasing.
Damien, Timmy Clark timed his run to perfection.
Mm. He did indeed, and his instructions were to have one last crack. That was his only instructions, but when... Afterwards, when she jumped really well, he came back and he said, all I could think in my head was, one last crack, one last crack. he was thinking I could have gone to the lead. So he rode her a treat, and he's riding in really, really good form.
He certainly is. Damien, you were telling me yesterday that, you were lucky, actually, to be racing this filly Perignon.
Yeah, we were indeed. Gerald picked her out of the Magic Millions.
Mm-hmm.
There was two horses out. There's the Fall to Sheffer and the Fall to Hollyweird, and I raced both.
That's right, yeah.
And Perignon's a Fall to Hollyweird, and Gerald had a gentleman that said, can you go there and buy me the best Schnitzel filly? So I ended up dropping it off her so Gerald could get it for that client. Anyway, to cut it short, the gentleman went away, and after 90 days, he come back and he said to Gerald, look, I can't pay for that filly because I bought a boat.
As you always do, yeah.
So Gerald came back and he says, I haven't got an owner for this filly. So obviously, through the relation that I had with Hollyweird, I've got a really good friend of mine, Ricky Sorais.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a look at her and she was going good. It was only in December, so it was near the Magic Millions, and then we ended up purchasing it for our wives.
Well, Damien, I hope Sky Racing was on that particular boat yesterday. There may have been some interesting comments after the win.
Dave, I think it might have been man overboard.
Exactly, <yeah. laughs> Damien, I was interested also in Timmy Clark's thoughts yesterday. She was placed in a Group 1 flight stakes last spring. Timmy thinks maybe around 1,400 metres might be her best trip, but she races like a filly who you would consider would get further.
Gerald's discussed that, and this time around she's bigger and stronger. Like she was only a... Look, we all know they're two-year-olds, and we all know they grow, and they get to a three-year-old fillies, but she's sort of just really furnished, like, nearly into a mare. This time she's a lot stronger. We don't have any doubt that she'll make a mile. Huey Bowman actually said the same as Timmy Clark last preparation, that she... Ooh, question mark on the mile, but this time, the way she is, and the way she settles, we took blinkers off her, we think she will.
So perhaps a Coolmore Classic preparation now, Damien?
The Coolmore Classic would probably be a really good option because it's 1,500. You're obviously in between.
Yep.
1,400 surround, the mile, 1,500 looks ideal.
Well, Damien, it was an exciting finish to the race, and we all remember the placing in the flight stakes back in the spring, but Perignon is back, and hopefully you'll be able to pop a few more bottles of it over the autumn.
Dave, I hope you're right.
Damien, what about this legacy that Schnitzel has left and just the ride you've been on since you raced Schnitzel? Gerald's got an amazing affinity with the progeny, and he just keeps on keeping on Schnitzel for you, doesn't he?
Oh, he's an amazing horse. Like, everyone knows when you go to a show, you buy a horse, and you obviously want to make it a stallion, but you have the presumption that, is he going to be a great stallion, is he not? But, like, I couldn't even dream of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing, you know? So I'm blessed and pleased, and, you know, there's nothing much more to say. Like, I don't know, like, he's just a fantastic horse, especially Gerald. Gerald's just got a knack with him. He just knows that breed inside out.
It's amazing, yeah. Look, Perry Nine was fantastic yesterday, and hopefully she can improve off that. She looks set for a bumper autumn. Thanks for joining us this morning, Damien, and I'd love to have you on the show again sometime during the Autumn Carnival.
No worries. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much, Damien. Damien Flower there, owner of Perignon, who was sensational yesterday, getting up in the final strides in the light fingers at Randwick.
And what a ride he's having, isn't he, since he raced Snitzel, won the Oakley Plate, was favourite in a Golden Slipper back in 05, and the Snitzels just keep on keeping on. It's amazing.
You know, more luck to him. He puts in, he takes out, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Now, we were worried we couldn't get him, but we have. Davey stopped milking the cows. He's been good enough to join us. The great man Robert Thompson himself. Robert, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ray.
Sorry to bother you. I know you told me you'd be milking the cows this morning, so look, we won't hold you up, mate. But look, congratulations on yesterday. He's a terrific little horse, Big Money, isn't he? He really tries hard.
Yeah, he sure does. And as I said to you yesterday, Ray, and all that, he sort of deserved that win yesterday. He had a bad preparation last time in, and the little fella, he really wanted to win yesterday.
Mm.
You don't come to town that often, Robert, but when you do, you know you're on a pretty good hay burner.
Oh, yes, Dave, and especially that little fella. I've got a great association with Rod Northam and the owners of the horse, and I've been on him for a long time, and it's always a pleasure to ride Big Money.
He looked good in the yard, Robert. Those runs leading up to yesterday really had him looking nicely ribbed up.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. He's had a couple of runs back in now, and I guess he had a bit of race fitness on most of them. And as I said, and all that, Rod and Isabelle, his strapper and track work rider, they've done a great job with him.
Yeah, Robert, we had Rod Northam on earlier, and he wants to talk to you about plans going forward into the autumn. He's got a couple of options. Does he freshen the horse up and go the sprint path through to the TJ Smith, or does he roll the dice and perhaps look at putting Big Money in as a lightweight hope in a Doncaster? Any thoughts for 1,200 metres TJ, or perhaps even going to the 1,600 for a Doncaster?
Oh, well, he's a bit older than that now, Ray, and he's settling a lot easier in his races, which he always did, but he's always he's settling well this time in, so maybe it might be a chance to just try him out a bit further distance and all that. But, Ray, he's a trainer. I'm just happy to be his jockey.
Exactly, yeah. And Robert, just finally, I know you're back to work today after you've hooked the cows. You've got Wyong Mean this afternoon. You're riding Thessio's half-brother for Neil Godbolt Fabry. He's a good little horse. He's on the rise, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been good for Neil. And my mum and my son and sister are part owners of him, right?
Oh, right,
so,
okay,
So it's sort of the family horse. And, I think he's had 8 or 9 starts, Ray, and he hasn't finished further back than second or third. And he's been real consistent, and I'm sure he'll run them a good race this afternoon.
Is he eligible for the country championship still, Robert?
Yes, he is, Ray, yes.
So he's potentially right in that, yeah.
Probably all going well, and if he runs okay today and all that, he'll probably be in the one at Taree.
Well, he's... Just 9 starts, 4 wins and 5 minors.
That good
was,
horse.
It was a very good run, Robert, first up. Beaten less than half a length last start behind Canny Essert at Randwick.
Yeah, he ran a good race, Dave. That was his first trip to Sydney and probably the hardest race he'd run in so far. And, the horse did very well. And I believe he's trained on pretty good since then.
Now, Robert, I know you've been milking cows this morning. Have you been out to get flowers and chocolates? Because it's Valentine's Day, you know.
I know that too, Dave. Thanks for sort of half reminding me. But the wife got a nice cup of tea in bed this morning, Dave. So
okay.
that's about as far as I've got so far.
No, good on you, Robert. Look, Robert, terrific to see you yesterday, Wynn. I really appreciate you coming on bright and early this morning. Best of luck with Big Money through the autumn, and love to have you on again sometime during the autumn carnival.
Yeah, great to speak to you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Thompson, race 6, number 1, Wyong today.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
Extraordinary revelations, incredible insights, the brand new show One-on-One.
Join me, Ray Thomas, each week as I go one-on-one with racing's key players.
With special guest Tommy Berry, starts Tuesday 7:30 on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
John Newell Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, my mates have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range, with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models, and a bunch of ex-demo models. Price to clear. Plus, purchase any new car from John Newell Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Newell Mazda, O'Regan Street, Alexandria, or johnnewellmazda.com.au. DL395.
The Country Championships is coming to Scone, February 21. Featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses.
Thechampionships.com.au.
Ray, I want to let you in on a bit of a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yep. Listening.
Well, the secret is Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. In fact, the newest arrival to the family is Coco Joy Coconut Milk, and it's already, as you probably know, very, very popular. You can get it in banana, you can get it in coffee, you can get it in classic chocolate.
I'm a chocolate man.
Okay, classic chocolate, full of flavour, yet it contains no dairy, zero gluten, zero lactose. Coco Joy Coconut Milk, it really packs a punch. But don't just take my word for it.
There goes a coffee on the floor.
As they used to say with a hand behind the ear, don't just take my word for it. Give it a try next time you're at your favourite store, and bring back the joy with Coco Joy. You can check out their range of products, cocojoy.com.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Happy Valentine's Day. Hope Cupid's hit you right where it hurts. And I can tell you now that we're asking and getting very, very good SMSs about some of the great sporting couples. We had one about Desmond Haynes and Gordon Greenidge. Which was a terrific one. Ken Arthurson, Frank Stanton, and Bob Fulton. So a threesome for the Sea Eagles.
The great Manly connection.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Miracle Mal and Kingston Town.
The great Kingston Town, yeah.
I wonder where Mal is. I've been trying to ring him for about a month. Answer your phone, Miracle.
He'll be listening. And this man always listens, Andy Pascalidis. A lot to talk about in the world of football.
And what a couple. Andy Pascalidis and Demis Roussos. Kalimera, Pascal.
Kalimera, Carla. Good to see you made the January transfer window to get on the show.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, I sent a few boys around and Jimmy's currently tied up listening.
Tied up quite literally, eh?
Well, Andy, look, a lot happened already this weekend, but can we start with last night? The Melbourne Derby was it had everything. It had a send-off, a disallowed goal. It had a flare, disappointingly, but it had a two-all draw that was as riveting as you could see.
Yeah, look, it's regarded as the greatest ever Melbourne Derby. It did, mate. But that first half, I mean, it was just amazing. Fernaroli, the second goal that he scored, his 16th of the campaign, probably the goal of the season. Cassera sent off with 11 to go, fearless free kick in the 54th that crosses the line. Kevin Muscat's absolutely livid. And quite rightly so. I mean, it was clearly over the line. It would have changed the whole complexion of the game with quite a bit of time left. But it stayed at the 2-2, and sadly, they'll be talking about the fact that the goal was not given outside of everything else that happened in that 90 minutes.
Do we need video technology on the goal line?
Oh, look, It's a topic that we've mooted on this show and the Big Sports Breakfast for a long time. And
why doesn't it happen, Andy? Why doesn't it happen?
I don't get it either. The technology's there. It's multi-camera coverage by Fox. It's as good as anywhere that you'll see it in the world in terms of the coverage. So the technology's there.
Andy, with Kachera's getting that red card in the 79th minute, did Melbourne Victory still have the chance to win with City only having 10 men?
I thought they should have gone for it. They didn't create as many clear-cut chances as you might have thought. And sadly for Anthony, that's the second time he's been sent off in just three appearances for Melbourne City. He was sent off in Sydney against the Wanderers. But, boy, oh boy, we'll be looking at the highlights of that game for a long time. And before that, Sydney's season of woe. They're still in the sixth, but the problem for them now, right, they've got Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory on 29 points, one above them, Adelaide right behind them, and Adelaide play today in Gosford. They're on 27 points. And the smoky is Perth. Perth have won four on the bounce now, so they're on 25 points. I'm not saying Sydney will fall out of the sixth. I still believe they'll make the top six, but they've got to turn their season around. They've got to do it quickly too, because there's just no cut and thrust to their game at the moment. They've only taken 1 point in the last four games.
And what about Friday night? Newcastle Jets, a bit of a surprise here. 2-2 at Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, my tips have just gone out the door.
As everyone else's has.
Ray, you know, Brisbane Roar, $1.35 favourites. It's the first time they've actually conceded more than one goal at home in their last 11 at Suncorp. So it shows you what sort of fortress it's been like. But well done, Jets. They're fighting back, you know. Okay, they've only had two wins in the last 15 rounds. But, you know, realistically, they can have some hope of trying to jag something out of the ordinary here. They're 7 points adrift of the top six. It is round 19 in a 27-round competition. But all you know, you can see Perth have got momentum. If they get momentum, anything's possible.
Andy, I know you introduced flares to football. That was with your platform shoes back in the 1970s. But are you worried that this afternoon when the Wanderers take on the Phoenix, are you worried that another flare might go off in the crowd?
No. No, the reason I say that is the security measures in place at Pertec are phenomenal. I normally get out there 3 hours before the game. We do a bit of a running through the afternoon and what it will entail and what we need to do in terms of our match day presentation. You've done that before, Dave. You've seen it. You understand it. But when I get there and I see the police and all the security teams having their briefing, they have a briefing well before anyone is even near the ground. And then they do a sweep of the stadium. And then they have the particular points of reference in that stadium. And mind you, and the RBB know, and all the fans know, that there's cameras that are fixed on certain parts of the ground, and they keep a track on everything that does move and everything that does happen on match day. So I've got no fear. And I do believe the Wanderers avoided a bullet. I've got to be honest with you. I thought they were going to lose a point or a couple of points. But thank God the team and the club and the good fans have not been punished for the craziness of a few.
Exactly. It would have been tough on the players if they lost points. But APL overnight, Andy, some big results. Sunderland have upset Manchester United, but have Chelsea turned the corner?
Well, it's incredible, isn't it? Of all the games last night, Chelsea scored five against Newcastle, and Pedro got a double. Diego scored, Diego Costa. They're up 3-0 inside of 17 minutes. And look, does one game make a season? Chelsea are in 12th position, obviously out of European contention. They just want to salvage respectability. And by doing this, they have. More pressure, though, on Louis van Gaal, isn't there? I mean, Man United's aspirations of Champions League football is taking a big hit there, losing 2-1 at Sunderland. I mean, Sunderland were paying $4.50 for the win. And Man United now are 6 points behind Man City. Now, the top four teams all play tonight.
Yeah.
They could be 9 points behind Man City by the end of tomorrow. So it's been a tough day at the office for Man U. And also the home teams, Bournemouth, Palace, Everton losing to West Brom and Swansea, all those teams losing at home.
What about tonight, Andy? 11 o'clock, Arsenal v Leicester City, 3:45 in the morning, Man City versus, come on you Spurs.
Yeah, look, Dave, my multi, I went for a three-leg combo this week, all draws. I was going for Sydney and Perth to draw, into Arsenal and Leicester to draw, and into Man City and Tottenham to draw. But what about this? You know, Arsenal third v Leicester first. Man City fourth v Tottenham second. Let's just hope there's a lot of entertainment, a lot of goals. And talking of goals, Celtic got a couple this morning too. But more importantly, Tommy Rogic was back from injury.
Yep.
They beat Ross County, which is Jackson Irvine, the other Aussie that's playing there. And Scotty McDonald's team actually lost this morning 2-0. But the concern for Ange Postecoglou, and I'm trying to find out this morning what's happened here. Matthew Lecky went off injured in the 22nd minute in the Bundesliga. His team, Ingolstadt, lost at Wolfsburg 2-0. And he'll be a little bit concerned that Matty Ryan's back on the bench for Valencia right now against Espanyol. It's 0-0 at half-time.
Right. What about Juventus is playing Napoli in the Serie A?
That's right. That is, you know, that is the
massive
game of the season. Juventus have had this wonderful run after a shocking start. But you remember Napoli, Dave and Ray? You remember the golden days? It's 0-0 in that game at the moment, half time. But remember the golden days when Maradona brought Napoli to the fore and they won a couple of Serie A titles in the 80s.
Yep.
Glory days hopefully are back for them. As much as you want Juventus, you know, they're the popular team in a sense. But Napoli are 2 points clear of Juventus on 57-55 and daylight third, Roma on 47 points. So I'd like to see Napoli get up, to be honest with you. I love the underdog story, and it's much like Leicester City in a sense. No one really gave Napoli much hope, and it's a different scenario, of course, for Leicester. 5,000-1 at one stage.
It's amazing. A great story. Just finally, Andy, Cristiano Ronaldo just keeps scoring goals for fun, doesn't he?
Yeah, mate, it doesn't stop, does it? The Ronaldo machine this morning, he got two for Real Madrid. They beat Bilbao. That was a tough game for them, 4-2. They're on 54 points. They're on 53 points, but they're 1 point behind Barcelona. Barcelona have got two games in hand. They play tomorrow, so it could be a difficult run home for them, but they need to win these games and hope that Barcelona slip.
Well, Pasco, as always, it's been great catching up with you on Sky Sports Radio. Have a great time at Pirtek today. We know how much you love your football, and I hope the Phoenix and the Wanderers game turns out to be an absolute cracker.
Mate, it will be, and if I can, just a shout-out to the good people from the Cronulla Triathlon Club. I went out to Gunnamunna Bay yesterday. The National Aquathon Championship was on. It was a 1K swim and 5K run. I ended up competing it at the last minute, mate, so I'm feeling dusty today, but it's a wonderful sport, and there are good people out there, and that race is in the memory of Richie Walker, a lovely young man who died of a heart attack 30 years ago competing in a triathlon.
Good on you, Andy.
It was a really good day out there, and it's good to get to the Shire without, you know, having to worry about other things that have been in, you know what I mean, mate, I need to leave past to get out of Sydney.
Good on you, Andy.
Good to have a good day, and happy Valentine's Day.
Good on you, Andy. All the best.
Yes,
sir. Now, listen, Dave, the time of the morning. Call in now, listeners, 1353 53. That's 1353 53 for our BSB prize pack and sports quiz. Dave, at the score at the moment, 4-2. You'll be Jimmy today, so you're just in front. But
all right.
I'm making a run. I won last week, so we're back in the game. 4-2. Call now, 1353 53 for the BSB sports quiz with Dave and Ray.
Sky Sports Radio has the best form analysts spread right across the country, including Brisbane's Bernadette Cooper.
Well, I really wanted to tip Quick Catch last time out. It's a real neat, well-put-together little horse, a real professional little racehorse.
Quick Catch and Rallum Pago. Quick Catch pokes the bib in front. Quick Catch in front of Rallum Pago. And Quick Catch wins again.
Every day, grab a bag full of winners with your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UViewed online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. .com.au. When suddenly
he gets a feeling he's been surrounded by. The Country Championships is coming to Goulburn February 20.
featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses.
Thechampionships.com.au.
Lano, here's a Chinese red envelope.
For me? You shouldn't have.
I didn't. It's for our customers.
Oh.
If they see a red envelope on any product at Bin Lee, they'll get a great deal.
Yes, a traditional Chinese red envelope symbolises good luck. And to celebrate Chinese New Year, Mum, you're putting red envelopes throughout our stores.
Lano?
Okay, I'm putting red envelopes throughout our stores.
Oh, you're a smart boy.
Thanks, Mum.
Happy Chinese New Year. I'm Yanda Lee.
I'm Lionel Lee.
Limited time. Excludes ASCO and Milo. Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back, everyone. Dave, remember how to play this game, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend sports quiz?
I'm not allowed to cheat this time, but Jimmy Smith did accuse me of cheating.
Did he really? Yeah, he always does that, but the pressure's on you because you're playing for Jimmy now.
Okay.
He'll probably be listening all the way in America.
Okay, well, there'll be no
sweating
missed tackles.
Bullets.
No missed tackles.
He's a reigning champion and he's...
What, a missed tackles?
No.
He always was, yeah.
Of the sports quiz.
Okay, sorry.
What his nickname, Turnstile?
Yeah, Turnstile Smith. Yeah, that's what they called him, yeah.
Well, here we go. Look, Martin's been good enough to join us. Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Martin, you know the rules. Here's the first question. Best of luck, Martin. Who do the Mariners play in the A-League today? Is it Adelaide, Brisbane or Newcastle?
Adelaide.
Well done. Good start. Good start. Question number two, Martin. Who took the most wickets for Australia in the first innings of the first test versus New Zealand? Was it Nathan Lyon, Josh Hazlewood or Peter Siddle?
Josh Hazlewood.
Solid start, Martin. Two for two. Let's go for the clean sweep, Martin. In which month of 2016 will the Asian Beach Games be held? No, you know producer Jeremy's back. Is it September, October or November, Martin?
October.
Ah, it's September, but good score. Two out of two. Over to you, Dave.
Not too bad. Okay, my questions are...
You've got Bill there, Dave. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Bill, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, question number one. Who do the Wanderers play in the A-League today? Is it Wellington, Perth or Melbourne City?
Melbourne.
It's Wellington, yeah.
It's Wellington. Melbourne City played in the derby 2-2 with the victory. Yeah, they play Wellington Phoenix at Parramatta today. All right, Bill, question number two. Who scored the most runs for the Kiwis in the first innings of the first test? Was it Corey Anderson, Mark Craig or Kane Williamson?
Mark Craig.
Solid.
Okay, here we go. Can we get a Mexican standoff? Can we make it 2-2? Question number three, Bill. In which month of 2016 will the UCI Road Cycling World Championships be held? Is it August, September or October?
October.
Oh, locked at 2-2. We'll go to a tiebreaker. Okay, stay on the line there, Bill. Now, Dave will ask you the first question, and for Bill and Martin, it's the closest guess wins. So the tiebreaker question, Dave, to Bill.
Okay. What is the current tennis world ranking of South African Kevin Anderson? Bill.
33.
Okay. Stay on the line there, Bill. Over to you, Martin. Martin, the tiebreaker question is, what is the current tennis world ranking of South African Kevin Anderson?
I don't know, 36.
Oh.
It's 14, so Bill, you're the winner. Congratulations, Bill. Hopefully you're still on the line. Bill's won. Dave?
You there, Bill?
Yes, I am.
Congratulations. You've won yourself a big sports breakfast prize pack. You get a Sports Year Diary. They're magnificent. Three CDs, courtesy of Sony, and a big sports breakfast trucker hat.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good on you, Bill. So stay on the line there. Dave, you've done it for Jimmy. He'll be listening. You're 5-2. He'll be very proud of you, Dave. And after the break, we're back with Zorba. Peter Peters is back.
Tap here, and I'm looking forward to co-hosting the 2016 Elite Lot Tour with champion trainer Chris Lang. Jeremy Nolan Travel has put together a wonderful tour highlighted by the world-famous Elite Lot in Sweden. Google Jeremy Nolan Travel.
every Monday morning at 9. Get the best wrap-up of the weekend's racing with Punters Postmortem. Experts Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester and host Terry Kennedy have it all covered.
Yeah, look, for that sort of great quality handicap conditions, I just thought he was really well placed.
First up after a couple of months off, but he was beautifully placed. He's a Toorak winner and he was presented in beautiful shape.
Punters Postmortem. We don't get fooled again. With the best in the business, every Monday morning at 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to support the Women's Cancer Foundation in the annual Teal Pants Awareness Campaign. Over the next month, Harness Racing New South Wales and Tabcorp will donate $400 for every female-driven winner.
Better draw first to see the judge, but there's a mile of room for Yaya's Hotspot to give chase. It's on a loose rein, the leader.
Go the Teal Pants. This month on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Dave Carlson for Jimmy Smith here with Ray Thomas. Thank you for your SMSs. We've heard from the factor, and he said, last time I was on, I gave the listeners Tonopah, which won the Donald Cup. Do I have a tip today? Well, Ray...
Pressure's on, Dave.
Well, you're the racing editor of the Daily Telegraph, but I'll stick my head in. Look, race number 3 at Bathurst, the Bill Aspros Cup. Number 2, Bells of War, Con Caracasanas. So I was with Johnny Caracasanas, who's a Mad Souths fan, and he was giving it to me last night at the Charity Shield. Bells of War, race 3, number 2, Bathurst. I think it's a great chance for Con this afternoon.
We should make mention, massive day at Bathurst today. It's Bathurst Cup Day. They've got the Barb. The race is over 3,000 metres. They've got the Rising Prince 2-year-old race and the Bill Aspros Cup. He's a legend up there, Bill. One of the all-time great jockeys from that region. So huge day at Bathurst. We did a show up there a couple of years ago, Dave. I don't know why we're not up there again.
Well, it's a great racetrack, and it's a really nice place to go to the races. And the first at Bathurst, you've got plenty of time to get there. You can have maybe a Valentine's Day brunch. 1:27, so plenty of time to get to the first on Bathurst Cup Day today.
We might still head up there. Great day up there, and good luck to all the people up at Bathurst. And, of course, racing also at Warong this afternoon. Well, the footy is back. It was great to see some footy last night, wasn't it? Really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the All-Stars game. As I said, I missed the Charity Shield game. Dave, you were there. But a man who I know will be across it all, the great man is back, Sorba Peter Peters. Pete, good morning and welcome back to the show, Pete.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Dave. Pleasure to be back. Beautiful day. Footy's on. Thank heavens.
Isn't it great? What was your take on? I thought the All-Stars game, I just mentioned, I didn't see the Charity Shield. I watched the replay this afternoon, but got home in time for the All-Stars game, Pete, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I think the 35 seconds for the scrums, the 30 seconds for the dropout, it's a lot quicker. I think we're going to see a change in the game now. I think you've got to have a running dummy half. The days of the dummy half just distributing the football, I think, are well and truly gone. Two less on the interchange, I think, is going to be good. Let's go through the Charity Shield. I didn't think it was a great game, but it was a game in which players were sorting out their timing. First hit out for the year. It's going to be interesting this year with both Fox Sports and Channel 9 doing such an intensive coverage. We're going to see a lot of former players try their hand at commentating. And as we know, not all former players come up well as commentators. A lot different to what they're used to. And some of them look like rabbits in the headlights. Well, let's give them all a go before we evaluate them. But I thought the Charity Shield game left a fair bit to be desired, but I really loved the World All-Stars and the Indigenous All-Stars. It was played with a good feeling before a good crowd, and I think it's got to be retained in some form.
So the shot clock, as you mentioned, was enforced for the scrums and the line dropouts. What about the refereeing bunker? I mean, some of those decisions in the All-Stars match took ages.
Yeah, they did, Dave, that's a worry. And it's weird because you can sit at home and watch it, and if you know anything about the game, you know first time.
Mm.
Now, if we know first time, surely they should know first time.
Mm.
And you're right. They're all for speeding it up, and they've gone to the bunker, and you think they haven't bombs dropped on them because they're taking that long.
Yeah. No, it was pretty tedious. Pete, what about the All-Stars game? You mentioned earlier about retaining it. There had been some talk during the week about its relevancy. I think the fact that 37,000 turned up last night, I'm not sure what the TV numbers were. I'm sure it would have been huge. The game was pretty good given it was still in summer and the first trial match for most of the players. It's here to stay, isn't it, Pete?
Well, I hope it is, Ray. I just think there are a lot of dropouts in that game. That worries me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Indigenous boys are always going to want to play, and I think we've got to make it so the World All-Star players want to play their part in this as well. It's more than just having another game, I think. And
they looked pretty willing last night, Pete.
That attractive that they want to play in it.
Yeah, they looked pretty willing last night. They were some big hits, and they were really involved in it, the World All-Stars.
Yeah, they were, but it's like anything else. Once you get out there, you want to get into it. It's just getting them out there is the hard thing. And we saw a lot of stars drop out of that game. I'm glad that the likes of Greg Inglis stood up and played and was obviously proud to lead his team for the first time. It was pretty awesome. And they tell me that Jonathan Thurston was, you know, really upset that he was away in England at the time that this was being played. But I thought some terrific efforts there last night by a lot of players. I'm very happy that that Martin Tapau was playing for Manly. I thought he was awesome last night.
So in the Charity Shield, I went there. There was no atmosphere. I didn't like the time of the kickoff. But I thought that Cody Walker played really well for the Bunnies in Luke Keary's 5-8 position. And poor old Luke, he's probably feeling a bit more heat after that performance as well.
Yeah, he's been around a little while, Cody Walker, so he's not... It's not as though he's really new to the scene. He's only played New South Wales Cup relatively, but he was fairly impressive last night. But you know, who's to say Keary wouldn't have been? Keary's proven and won a premiership, so I don't think that bloke will be taking his place for a while yet. But I thought that, you know, it was just a game. I was really happy that the All-Stars came after it and really lifted the standard a bit. I thought Damien Cook was a standout for South Sydney. He's going to be a great replacement for Isaac Luke.
Yep.
Now, he's a running dummy half like Isaac Luke is. I made mention at the top of the segment that you've got to have a running dummy half now. The days of the guys that just distribute from dummy half are over. You need to have more to your bow now to be the number nine in the NRL. And Souths have picked up a beauty. Even kicked a goal from the sideline. Kicked well in general play. He'll be the starting hooker, I feel sure, for Maguire at South Sydney.
A number of other trials yesterday. Zorb and Manly played today down at Cronulla. The Matt Moylan experiment at 5-8, I think he's made to play closer to the ruck. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. The more he's got the ball in his hands, the better it's going to be. A lot of fullbacks have some silky skills because they've got to time their entry into the back line. They've got to time their offloading. They've got to draw and pass. They've got to look at the game and organise their defences. So if they go from fullback into the 5-8 spot, like Darren Lockyer did, then you're going to get a really good player if they've got the skills to do it. And this kid has. He's a brilliant player, and I think that he's a future long-term captain of the Penrith Panthers. I think, you know, he'll have a great career there. And who's to say that he mightn't even solve some situations for New South Wales in the number six moving forward.
Good point.
Zorba, a bloke called Wilco grabbed me as I was leaving the footy last night, and he was talking about the referees, and he said, you know, look, the captains and coaches have pledged to show greater respect to referees this year. He said he reckons that the ref should be like in rugby union. Instead of referring to the players by their first name, they should just say number three, number seven, or whatever, because that way it won't be matey. What are your thoughts on that?
Dave, I've been saying that for years. I think it's ridiculous. With a big percentage of our players now, Islanders, and some of their first names provide a fair lump of the alphabet. I reckon they're spending more time learning names of players than doing what they should be doing. I thoroughly agree. I think it's ridiculous. Call them by their numbers and get on with the game. I think they talk too much, particularly now where the mic's open. We're hearing them, and you know, when there's two of them on the field, it's even worse. And I think it's a blot on the game. And really, the players should know the rules. While you're talking about the referees, they've got to be treated with respect. I'm still getting over the fact that a player threw the ball, albeit just lofted it, at a referee in Auckland during the Nines and didn't get suspended.
I mean,
if that happens in the NRL, then you can expect a hefty sentence. But it didn't happen over there, and I think if they're going to have the Nines, they've got to have the rules right.
Exactly. Look, Saul, but it's great to have the footy back. It's great to have you back on our show again for 2016. Love listening to you. Your views on footy are forthright, always right on the money, and we'll talk to you again next week, Saul.
Okay, mate, we'll go through our top eight next year. I think it's going to be a change top eight, and I think there's going to be some shocks in it.
Look forward to it. All the best, Saul.
Okay, boys, thank you.
Thanks.
I love Petey. He knows his football. He's been there. He's done that.
Absolutely. Now, for the all-important scratchings with Tanya.
Thanks, Ray. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today at Bathurst and Wyong. Starting with Wyong, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1350 to the 210, and then 2 metres the remainder, and there are 12 scratchings. Out of race 1, take 5, Il Dominator, 5 from the first. Race 2, number 1, Marbling, and 11, Solid Stone, 1 and 11 from race 2. Out of the third, number 3, Excelier, 5, Hellhole, and 13, Swanky Manoeuvre, 3, 5, and 13. Race 4, take out 7, Machucci, 7 from the 4th. Out of the 5th, number 8, Streaky Bay, take 8 from race 5. Out of race 6, number 2, Lucky News, 2 from the 6th. Race 7, number 10, I Am Royal, number 10. And out of race 8, number 5, Johnny G, and 7, Amore del Sabados, or something similar, 5 and 7 from race 8. To Bathurst, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, penetrometer 5.19 and 15 scratchings. Race 1, number 4, Watutsi, and 6, Starvita, 4 and 6 from race 1. Out of the second, take 7, Queen's Crown, and 12, Baby Jam, 7 and 12. Races 3 and 4 are clear. Race 5, number 7, Dane Troy, number 7. Out of race 6, number 3, Thunor, 5, Dylan's Romance, 12, Millie Jewel, 15, Can't See a Thing, and 18, Weekend Millionaire.